Welcome to the Geeksplore Not Off Topic Debrief. I'm John Williams.
And I'm Ben Robinson.
And here we are, back in the booth, here to bring you a more casual chat show on our off weeks, in case this is your first time to a Geeksplore Not Off Topic Debrief.
Yeah, we just kind of shoot the shit for a little bit. And we're back in person. We got safety measures in place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this whole COVID thing's still happening. Hey. And, you know, I'm not Mr. Super Panic, but I am a little more nervous than the average. I'm a little more nervous than the
me.
Not nervous people. Yeah. Yeah, so our setup is normally we've got a couple of cubicles with a hole cut out of the middle, and we've got some desktops, and we face each other. But we're probably not 6 feet.
Yeah, maybe yeah, 5 feet away.
Not far enough apart for my comfort. So we'd been doing virtual recording on Zoom or Google Hangouts for a little while, and we did a show in person at my place last week, but the audio was shit for all the echo we had. So Ben put a piece of plexiglass between us, and now we can see each other's handsome mugs again.
Hey, if it keeps the gas station guy safe, it should work for us, right?
Yeah. So it seems like the day that we released our last off-topic debrief, a bunch of shit came out. So this news seems old. It's 2 weeks old.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it was like the next day they hit us with all kinds of good stuff.
So I'm going to make an executive decision right now and just lead off with the bad news. We didn't do that last time, and you know what? I don't want to bring us down in the end, so we're just going to start bringing you down. In Batman news, we lost director Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I hate all this celebrity death stuff. They need to stop dying because I don't want to talk about it.
Joel Schumacher, of course, is infamous for directing Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. And famous for directing stuff like The Lost Boys. He did Falling Down, which we referenced in our fast food episode. Yeah. He did The Phantom of the Opera, the Gerard Butler one.
Did not see that.
Yeah, I saw it. It wasn't bad. Gerard Butler's voice wasn't great, but that wasn't Joel Schumacher's fault.
Well, I mean, probably could have cast someone with a better voice.
Yeah. No kidding. Okay. But boy, was he a handsome phantom. And we also lost legendary Marvel inker, Joe Sinnott, who was best known for being Jack Kirby's inker on the entire run, the 102 issue of run of Fantastic Four. He is a Marvel legend. Like his polished inks over Jack Kirby, you know, created that style. He would even ink over people like Ron Frenz, and I've seen him on John Romita and John Buscema, and it gives it like just a Marvel flavor. And you know, he was, oh geez, he was 94 or so. He was up there, you know, Stan Lee age, because he was around then too. And he'd still been doing the convention circuit, but he sadly passed away. So another one down.
When you started with legend, I thought you were going to say legendary comedian Carl Reiner.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Because we lost him too, and he was also 98, I think. He was up there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know him from he created the Dick Van Dyke Show that I guess was originally supposed to be about like his life, and he was going to star in it, and the studio's like, no, we need someone else.
Oh,
we need someone more handsome. Get Dick Van Dyke.
No, we need a chin that don't quit.
Yeah. So not only did he steal the role, he stole the title too.
Yeah. No shit. Was it going to be the Carl Reiner show?
No. What was it? It was like All My Something. It was a non-name. It didn't have a name in the show.
Yeah.
Like,
All My Children.
Something like that. Yeah.
Then they used it later.
But I mean, he was back on, you know, Sid Caesar's shows back in the 50s, and you know, he did The Jerk and The Man with Two Brains. Like, he was pivotal in Steve Martin's coming up, and he was like super good buddies with Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
You know, they did the 2000-Year-Old Man album, which was, I think that was like the first time I really recognized who he was.
All the way up to the Oceans movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess like, he, at least for what they said when they did Comedians in Cars with Seinfeld,
mm-hmm,
on that show, he was on there. Like, he goes over to Mel Brooks' house, or he went over to Mel Brooks' house almost every night and ate a TV dinner and watched a movie.
That's right. I did see that one.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So,
and like Mel Brooks's house looked very average. It was really weird. Like it looked like what like my grandparents' house would look like. It was really strange. It wasn't decadent at all.
It doesn't need to be.
I imagine he's got a lot of money. He doesn't need to use it for his home life.
Guess not.
It's comfy. Yeah. TV dinners. And they were on like little TV trays in front of recliners.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so average.
Watching some old movies and having a good time, man. Like,
so, now he's Rob Reiner's dad, right?
He absolutely is. Yeah.
Yeah. Legend in his own right, Rob Reiner, who we are going to be talking about on our next episode.
Yeah.
Because our next episode, even though nobody will be able to chime in for it, because we're going to record it right after this, but we're doing Princess Bride.
Yep. Another Rob Reiner classic.
Yeah. So, yeah. You got any more deaths?
God, I hope not. No, that's everything I heard about.
All right. Well, rest in peace, Mr. Everyone. Schumacher. Yeah, Mr. Sinnott and Carl Reiner. It sucks. Like, you know, the older we get, they're not going to stop dying.
Mel Brooks is coming, man. I mean, like, I love the guy, and he hasn't done anything for a while, but I'm not looking forward to the day where we got to mention that on this show.
Yeah, it's one of those things like Stan Lee. I remember when other comic creators were dying, and I was in the office with a buddy of mine who's also a comics fan, and he just sort of threw it out there like, you know, Stan Lee's gonna die like any time now, right? And I was just like, no, you shut the fuck up. He's not gonna fucking die now. Now it's your fault if he dies because you put that shit on him.
You call yourself a true believer, you motherfucker.
Yeah, which was totally unreasonable on my part.
Yeah,
but Stan Lee did die. So Chris Alvarez,
you're right, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was the nicer way to say it. I was like, I can't just say fuck you. That's very unkind. And, you know, some people you can just look at them and say, go fuck yourself. Like I'm saying to you right now. But you know, there's some people that don't appreciate that kind of humor as much. And I know Chris well enough to know he wouldn't. So.
Well, fuck him anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know him well enough to
you
know
You are
that.
Right. Gosh damn it. So on to other news. The stuff that we talked about that happened the day of our episode, other than Joel Schumacher dying, because it was a big day for Batman.
Yeah.
We heard that Mr. Michael Keaton is in talks to come back in the role of Bruce Wayne / Batman in the Flashpoint movie that is up and coming.
Yeah, which I think is kind of cool. I saw a lot more stuff saying Bruce Wayne than I saw saying Batman. So I don't know if he's going to put on the cape and cowl again, or if he's just going to pop in as Bruce Wayne, and which, whatever. I liked him as Bruce Wayne. It'd be a cool little thing. I mean,
yeah. And what's been interesting in this 2 weeks is the lack of new information that comes out, but the deluge. Is that what it is? Is it deluge or deluge? Deluge?
I like deluge.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. If you're a English junkie and you want to let us know how it's pronounced, hit us up at email at geekexplorationpodcast.com.
I say, you know, tomato, potato, who cares?
There's just been a whole lot of conjecture and a lot of rumors and a lot of speculation. There's stuff that's saying he's going to play a Nick Fury type role where he's going to sign, you know, on for several movies and sort of be the through line with the multiverse. I've heard rumors that he will be in costume and they'll do sort of a Kingdom Come thing where it's like an exo suit.
Because you know, he's an old man.
Yeah, because he's all old and just beat the fuck up from, you know, 40 years of fighting crime.
40 years of Batmaning is going to fuck you up.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw a comic book where Bruce Wayne, like, took off his shirt from his suit and he had scars all over his back. Oh, yeah. I was like, that's fucking cool. Of course he would.
You know, I think football players have it bad.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I mean, I think it's cool that Michael Keaton's coming back. I'm not sure that I see that Batman as being a multiverse superhero Batman. Like if you just take the context of the two Tim Burton films that he was in, I mean, he didn't seem that smart or that capable of handling, I don't know. He just seemed like kind of a, like an average dude that puts on like Tim Burton said he wanted to create a character in Michael Keaton's Batman that would need to put on a suit to intimidate people to be Batman. Like it was more about like the persona that he was creating rather than like training and honing himself and being great at everything.
Yeah. And I also kind of got the feeling from that Batman that instead of the image of Bruce Wayne being the show that he puts on to throw people off, like the, you know, that Bruce Wayne was more who he actually was.
Interesting. I think I absolutely agree with that, because that's a debate that a lot of Batman fans have, is like, who's the mask? And it's generally like, you know, Bruce is the mask. But yeah, you're right. That Bruce is Bruce who needs to be Batman for some reason, but he is Bruce.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I mean, he's, you know, he's obviously not going to go around punching thugs as Bruce Wayne, because he's got a cover to keep, but he doesn't seem like the leader of the Justice League type.
Yeah. I don't see him hanging out with Superman and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even imagine what they would look like. Maybe Nick Cage's Superman would be in that universe, because that was going to be Tim Burton anyway.
That said, 40 years later, you know, maybe he's changed, or maybe he's not even the same Batman.
Yeah.
You know, he's it's just a cool cameo to bring Michael Keaton back to play an old Batman. And that's correct. It is cool to bring Michael Keaton back to play an old Batman. Like, yeah. I like that.
We're stoked. I'm curious what kids think who just don't even know about those previous movies.
I don't think they care.
Yeah. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also the rumor that he could be playing Thomas Wayne, because Thomas Wayne's Batman was a big part of Flashpoint. There's also speculation that they're going to do a Batman Beyond movie, but nothing is concrete, but a lot of people are saying that this is happening. I remember, like, a couple days before the Michael Keaton news, I had read that Jeffrey Dean Morgan was in talks to star as the Thomas Wayne Batman from Flashpoint, because he played Thomas Wayne in Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, yeah.
And I was stoked for that. I would love to see Jeffrey Dean Morgan playing Thomas Wayne Batman. That'd be fucking cool. But the Michael Keaton news came in and blew that out of the water. And then the other Batman rumors that have been swirling is Ben Affleck. With the Zack Snyder's Justice League coming out, you know, whether or not, I mean, he's coming back to do some VO, some ADR work. All of the cast is doing that, but reportedly nobody's suiting up for any additional shooting. But there are all sorts of speculation and fans crying for HBO Max to do his Batman that he was going to do before the whole shakeup and Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson came in. I even read an article this morning that said, you know, the deal is signed and they're going to announce it at DC's Fandom event coming at the end of this month, I think. So I don't know. No super reputable sources have any concrete information. So right now it's just, there's a lot of rumors flying around. But how would you feel about Affleck having his own HBO Max Batman series?
I liked Batfleck.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job at the role. I mean, it, you know, some of the iffy writing aside, I think his characterization of Batman was good. I liked it. That's really all you have to do to pass my test.
Yeah, I thought Affleck was great in Batman v Superman. I think Justice League was the writing was the problem with that, and the whole Joss Whedon thing. Oh, and shit, I didn't even have this in my notes. But speaking of Justice League, did you see the stuff that Ray Fisher is coming out saying?
No, I saw like a headline of something about it, but I did not read the article.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't go into any details, but he just talks about how Joss Whedon on set was like had like a gross, like abusive way of working, like just implying that Joss Whedon was a real piece of shit. And he posted a video of him at Comic-Con when he was talking about how great it was working with Joss Whedon or something at a panel, you know, where they're promoting Justice League. So, of course, and fuck, I can't remember what he said. It was on Twitter or something, but he implied that he was lying in that clip.
Well, so he can't be trusted.
But apparently there's also like Kevin Smith came out on his Fat Man Beyond podcast and was talking about how he had spoken with somebody who had done special effects on it, like both Zack Snyder's and Joss Whedon's. And apparently Joss Whedon would just like openly talk shit about Zack Snyder's version of Justice League, like while they're filming and working on it. And apparently they had a very rigorous schedule to meet, because, I mean, we all know, or I don't know if everybody knows, but it was rushed.
Hmm.
Short deadline. WB didn't want to push it back to get it done right. So Ray Fisher just straight up called Joss Whedon out.
Take that.
Yeah. Sir?
So I've got something that is not movie related.
Ew. But we're a movie podcast.
You know, it kind of is, because for the second time ever, they caught on camera a live giant squid.
Oh, shit.
Like,
they
got it on film, and it's only, like, maybe 15 seconds long, but, like, it just cruises up into frame looking all creepy and shit, because it's like, you know, it's deep, deep down in the Gulf of Mexico, I think, and it's just pitch black everywhere, and you just see this fucking white tentacle thing come and, like, open up, and, like, it reaches over and, like, taps the vehicle that they're in. It might have been an ROV, so there might not have actually been anyone in it. Probably not, actually. But it, like, taps it, and then it's like, that's not a fish, and just whoosh, disappears into the darkness.
Oh, awesome.
But it's pretty fucking cool. I'll post a link to it in the show notes. But
yeah. Does it look like the traditional giant squid, like, shape and everything?
Yeah. I mean, it's a straight up giant squid. It's hard to get a sense of scale.
Yeah.
You know, because it's the only thing in frame other than the little arm on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they estimated that it was something like 30 feet long. So it's a big fucker.
I was watching the Joe Rogan podcast. He had somebody on there. They were talking about aliens and shit. And they brought up this, I guess it's a type of squid, a type of giant squid where like it, like they showed video footage of it. It was one of those like underwater things. And it looks like a fucking alien creature. It like puffs out in its body. Like it wasn't the normal like popsicle shape. And it had like, big, like, spider legs that had, like, clear joints that just stretched way down. Like, it looked like a fucking alien. It was creepy as shit. And then I did a little more digging, and people were like, no, this thing actually does exist. But it was just a really good example of, like, what the fuck the depths have that we don't know about or that we don't have much evidence about.
Well, and cephalopods are fucking nuts anyway, man.
Yeah.
You know, octopuses and squids and cuttlefish and... You know, they can camouflage their bodies, like, not just to match stuff, but, like, you know, they can do, like, weird, like, rainbow rave effects and shit and just to confuse things. And they're some of the smartest creatures in the sea. And their lineage is so far back, split off from everything else. So they're fucking wild creatures, man.
Fuck that, man. I have no desire to go down and fuck with them.
Octopus have like a little beak. It's like the only hard part on their entire body.
Yeah.
And if it will fit through something, they will fit through something.
Oh shit. Yeah. Yeah. Cause they can just squeeze their body in together and just.
So like a big ass octopus could fit through like a hole the size of a quarter.
That's fucking nuts. Oh yeah. I've seen something like that. Yeah. There's some footage. Yeah.
Yeah. They are cool animals, man.
Wow. I don't know if I'm so positive about them.
No, I want an octopus friend.
Let's see. So how about trailers?
Yeah, I heard you saw some, and then I watched them because you said you saw them.
Yeah, so we've both seen them.
Yep.
So we had the Superman Man of Tomorrow trailer. I'd been waiting for this because they announced the movie at the same time as Superman Red Son. It was one of two Superman animated projects, which got me excited because it's always fucking Batman. And this one was reportedly separate from the whole track that DC's been on since Flashpoint. And it, as it turns out, the Justice League Dark, what was it called? Dark Side War? Apocalypse War? I don't know. I didn't see it.
Apocalypse War, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that would be kind of chunky to say Dark Side. That was reportedly the last in the line of that pseudo anime. You know, like they had a through line with all of those, with all the character designs and all the style and animation. And this is the start of a new one. It's definitely got a different look. It's kind of more flat and thick lines around it. Personally, I dig it. Why not? I want something different than that other shit. I'd gotten tired of it a long time ago, and the trailer looked good. It's an origin story.
Yeah, it's another Superman origin story, which I don't know if we necessarily need. Like, that's not something I'm really big on, but it has fucking Lobo, so that's enough to sell me. Like, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and it was cool that. Even though the art style looks a little more kiddie, you know, like in the trailer, Lobo says like it's ass whooping time or something like that. So I'm like, okay, they wanted us to know that it's not like Powerpuff Girls Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it does kind of look a bit more akin to like the old animated series.
Yeah.
The designs are different, but the like, just kind of the flatness, and it looks more like that than the anime stuff.
It reminded me mostly of Batman Brave and the Bold.
Oh, God, I love Brave and the Bold.
Yeah, because they have those thick lines around the characters.
But yeah, it's got Lobo. It's got Martian Manhunter in there and possibly Parasite. I think that was maybe Parasite.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. They since they're doing a young Superman movie, they probably need some low-level villains. Another trailer is the first of reportedly three Transformers movies coming to Netflix. It was called The War for Cybertron. I personally did not give much of a shit about it at all. It looked cheap, and I don't know.
Oh, I didn't get a cheap feel. It looked kind of cool. They got the character designs right. Like, they don't look like the, you know, the Michael Bay piles of walking refuse.
Yeah, wire.
Yeah, they look like they're supposed to, more or less. Like, it looks like it's basically a war on Cybertron, as the name would imply, which seems kind of cool. I'm not super steeped in Transformers lore, but like, did they turn into cars before they came to Earth and saw cars?
I feel like when I've seen them on Cybertron, they've turned into cars. But I think back then it was just like, what the fuck ever? It's a toy.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, when you start thinking about it more, you're like, wait a minute. Okay. Well, I don't know. Like, I haven't read like a ton of Transformers comic books, which I think is where like the lore solidifies a little bit better.
Yeah. I don't know shit about Transformers. Like, when we finally do a Transformers episode, I think you've got a buddy that wants to come on.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to need him because I will not be the authority at all.
But it looked cool. I like Transformers, so I'll hold out hope. I'm not as excited about it as Superman with Lobo. I'd be more excited about a Lobo movie.
You know, and they were talking about that a while back, and they had The Rock interested in it.
I could see that.
Yeah, and they wanted to go R-rated, but I think the studio was too hesitant at the time.
You have to go R-rated.
Yeah.
You go out and make a PG-13 Lobo movie, everyone's going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah, it will not make money. A bit of news, something else coming out that I just read about. Did you hear that Beavis and Butthead is coming back for two? They inked a 2-season deal.
Really?
Yeah.
For like a show?
Yeah.
Oh, are they going to do music videos still?
Unsure on that,
so.
But Mike Judge is coming back. He's going to be doing voices, animation styles. It's going to be the same reportedly. And they were talking about, you know, it's going to be exciting to see. I think it's on Comedy Central. They're excited to see how characters like Beavis and Butthead live in today's world.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Are they going to be the same age?
I don't know.
They're not. Or are they going to be like middle-aged Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, like Bill and Ted. I hope they're the same age.
Yeah,
I hope
me too.
We just sort of just unleash it upon, because I don't think there's anybody that remembers Beavis and Butthead that would be pissed if they were the same age.
Yeah. Well, that's what you expect. I mean,
yeah.
that's what you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I trust Mike Judge. Like, he does a good job. He doesn't pull very many punches. So, yeah. I hope they have music videos in it again and them talking shit over music videos, because that was one of the great parts about Beavis and Butthead that is really hard to see now. Like, you can watch the episodes, but they usually don't have the music videos in
yeah,
them.
Yeah. I think that would be a problem. I mean, I feel like since they've had such an issue putting out the old episodes because of copyright issue with all the music videos and stuff, I'd be shocked if they did. I think it would be too much of a problem. Unless the world has just gotten accustomed to streaming and there's like a standard contract for rights with stuff like that. Because I know episodes of Scrubs, if you watched on Hulu, has different music on a lot of it. And that was such a big part of Scrubs, was the music choices they made. So it kind of sucks, because back then there were no contracts that covered streaming. So they didn't
Weird.
Have, yeah.
So they had to change the music?
Yeah. Or pay out a certain amount for streaming rights in perpetuity, which at that point the show is over. So they're not going to, it's
oh,
not
yeah.
worth it to pour the money into it.
No shit. That's weird.
Yeah.
Kind of shit you never think about.
Yep.
So I got a couple items of video game news that came across my desk. The first one is pretty brief because I didn't watch it much, but Mixer is dead. Did you ever watch any streaming stuff on Mixer? It was Microsoft's streaming platform, kind of competing with Twitch. You could take shit straight from your Xbox and stream it on Mixer and or watch it on, you know, it was like there on pre-installed on your Xbox is really the only time I ever saw it.
I don't know anything about Mixer at all. I just heard about this news story. So I never heard of Mixer before I heard about it going away.
Yeah, I'm not a big like watch streaming video games guy. So and when I have, I've watched it on Twitch. So it doesn't really affect me, but I guess like there was a couple, you know, there was a number of people that had penned like $1 million contracts with Microsoft to stream on Mixer. like that ninja guy.
Yeah, ninja is who Fortnite I heard.
Shit. And I guess they're basically they Microsoft signed a deal with Facebook because Facebook's getting into it.
Okay. And, with all their live streaming.
They're just going to kind of transfer those guys over there, and now they have to work for Facebook. So I don't know if they're happy about that or not.
Yeah, at least they're not just shit out of luck.
Yeah.
But they've got new corporate overlords.
Yeah, they got to answer to the Zuck. And then the other thing is, it seems like the next gen games are gonna be up to $69 a pop.
Gross. I'm not shocked.
I think it was, NBA 2K21 came out and said, like, yeah, it's gonna be $69 for the new platforms. It'll still be $59 for the existing platforms. And a lot of other companies are like, yeah, that's a good idea.
That sounds like something we should do.
Which, to be fair, there hasn't been a price hike since like 2005 when the PS3 and the Xbox 360 came out, when they went up from, $49 to $59. And it's only a raise of 17%. You think about like everything else, like how much has like a theater ticket gone up since 2005?
Significant. Well, I don't know. I mean,
more than 17%.
What was it back then?
2005, it was probably around
$8, $9.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's closer to what, like 15?
I think it's like 12 for standard tickets. And then like if you want to go to ones that have like fancier features and shit, you're going to be paying like 20 a pop. So
yeah. So yeah. I mean, 8 to 12, that's a 30% increase there.
Yeah.
Netflix is like doubled over that period. So I can't really blame them. There's a lot of work that goes into AAA titles. I think where the rubber will hit the road on whether or not people are willing to put up with it is when, smaller things that aren't quite AAA also try to charge $70 for a game.
Yeah, when you have like Burger King's Sneak King coming out for $70.
But yeah, so if I can't imagine all games will be that, but the big AAA ones will. I mean, they spend a lot, they make a lot of money on them too.
Yeah. I mean, this is tough for me because, I mean, I haven't bought a new video game in probably a decade. I don't know. It's been a long time since I don't have current systems and I don't keep up. It's not the thing that I go, oh shit, I need to dedicate some time to this. I waste money on plenty of other things. But for some reason, like it does rub me the wrong way. It's like when it's $60, it's like, okay, that's just 10 more than 50. But when it's 70, it's like, oh man, that's like 30 from 100. Ugh. Like it sounds worse to me.
You're rounding up now. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Once it crosses that line, I'm like, oh shit. Like what is next? I could get that and a pizza and I just spent $100. Gross.
It's a nice pizza too.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to spend the money on a pizza, go get yourself a round table.
The last full price game I think I bought was Red Dead Redemption 2. So, otherwise I kind of wait for it to be used or come out on, greatest hits or whatever, where the price drops and I'll pick it up then or get it on a Steam sale. I do most of my gaming on my PC now anyway. And I got a giant backlog of games that I haven't gotten to. So
that's how I am with graphic novels right now. I was organizing my comics because my folks were in town and I had to clean up the house and I just have this pile of graphic novels that I haven't touched. I was like, whoa. Holy shit, John, what are you doing? And then I start questioning, like, well, if you haven't read them yet, do you really want to read them? Now I'm just a confused mess.
Pass them over my way. I'll read them.
Yeah. So I wanted to follow up on something. When we went back way back in the olden days and saw Superman, the movie, for its 40th anniversary in the theaters, and we were talking about the color grading and whatnot, and I was just farting around on YouTube the other night after having a couple drinks, and I stumbled upon some little clip outs of the Superman 4K restoration, like the extended cut. It's like 3 hours long, and I'll be damned if I don't just fucking hate that. Like the restoration and the color grading is fucking dog shit. Like,
really?
Yeah, the blue of his suit now looks like that trash, like dark blue that they make Superman action figures out of that he's never had in the comic books. It's an oversaturated, like dark royal blue, and it looks dumb. And I had to like pull up a clip of like the regular movie just to compare them side by side. And it was kind of what you were talking about with Star Wars, where like the people, like their skin color and like the whites had like a pinkish hue on it. It was really, really annoying. So fuck you guys. I appreciate the 3-hour Superman movie and they got my money. I bought it. I just hadn't watched it yet, but it looks like dog shit. And I don't know who's making money on that, but they shouldn't be because they make it look worse.
Should write them a letter.
Yeah, I'm going to write my congressman. So what have you been watching lately, Ben?
So this, over the last 2 weeks, my son recommended a show that he watched and, you know, me and both the kids sat down and watched it together and it was, really good. Like my daughter was kind of like poo-pooing it because she's like a, you know, she's a bit of an anime purist. And, this was an anime that, or I don't even know if it's really an anime. It's Chinese and it's definitely kind of anime-y style, but it kind of not like the art style kind of bounces all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely very anime trope-y, but she was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be terrible, being all pretentious and stuff. And like the first, you could see her like begrudgingly enjoying it through the first few episodes. And then like the next day she's like, we should watch more of that.
Was that what you guys were watching when I stopped by?
Yes.
Yeah. Earlier this week?
Yes. I don't know why I'm burying the lead here. It is called Scissor Seven and it is on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. And basically it follows this guy named Seven who's lost his memory. And him and his best friend, who is a blue chicken,
oh,
decide in order to make ends meet and make money, they are going to start up an assassination business and front it out of a hair salon.
Ah, there's the scissors. I was sitting here fighting myself. I'm like, John, you know it's not going to be funny if you just keep on trying to throw scissors into Ben's sentences. Like, let him talk.
And like he kind of has a special power where he has like chi scissors, so he can like control the scissors and like make them fly around and shit.
Yeah, he's like a scissor Jedi.
And he is really stupid and really bad at assassinating people. And it's funny. It's pretty charming. The art is fun because it just kind of changes on you all the time. It kind of goes through all these different styles and stuff as it goes. And it's got like a good subplot and it's entertaining. Now, I watched it with my kids. I don't know if I'd recommend you watching it with your small kids. Like, there's definitely, like, a few shits here and there. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's got violence. It's not, nothing's too graphic. But, you know, it's got blood and people dying and whatnot. So it's not like, I wouldn't watch it with your 5-year-old.
What about a 6-year-old?
Yeah, I mean, your 6-year-old? Probably not.
Yeah, good call.
My 6-year-old? Yes.
Yeah. It's not as bad as Alien.
No, yeah, so I've got, you know, they're 10 and 12 now, and they're fine. And it's got, like, you know, sexual innuendo and stuff in it here and there. But, I mean, it's pretty low grade. No big anime titties, so.
No tentacle monsters.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Plugging holes.
When my daughter's watching anime, like, my wife will walk in, and there'll be someone with, like, a super short skirt with, like, giant bulging cleavage. She's like, what are you watching?
Unrealistic standards, huh?
Yep, and oh, it was funny, though. My daughter has been bugging me to watch Parasite, which is another anime.
Okay, not the movie that won the Oscar.
No, the anime Parasite for a long time, but like it's on it's mature on Netflix. So you have to put in a code for her to see it. And she's been bugging me. I'm like, no, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know what it is. And finally broke. And I was like, okay, cool, let's watch it. And so she put it on. We got through like the second episode. Like, it's super violent. Like, they're cutting people's heads off and shit and doing all kinds of stuff, which, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
This is America. We like that sort of thing here, but titties, that's too far.
Yep.
And she, but it got to a point where, like, so basically his hand is sentient now. It's like an alien thing that, like, talks to him and, like, wants to do things. And it was supposed to go into his brain and make him a zombie, but it went into his hand instead. So now his hand can turn into, like, spikes and all kinds of shit.
Okay.
And, it got to a point where he's like peeing and there's like another guy next to him and he's like talking to his arm, like shut up. And he's like, and he had just been like flirting with a girl and she's like, I want to make your sexual organ erect. And Haley was just like, nope, like, I don't want to watch that anymore.
Yeah. It's like, I don't need to see this with my dad,
but it was pretty good. So I might go back and watch the rest of it.
Oh, wow. Erect wieners. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, let's see. I mean, as far as watching stuff, like, oh, I did watch the most recent season of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I didn't even know it had been on Hulu because I don't have FX or FXX. So that was a nice little surprise. I watched season 14. It was pretty standard.
I think the last season I watched was like 11.
Yeah, you've got some catching up to do. They're all on Hulu.
Don't have Hulu.
Oh, shit. Well, I think at least up to 13 was on Netflix last time I saw. I don't know how they were on both, but they were.
Unfortunately, when it comes to TV shows, catching up is something I'm really bad at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that I make time for. And then, geez, we've just been working through The Office because Angelina had never seen it. But we did watch the Queen and Adam Lambert documentary that's on Netflix right now.
Queen and Adam Lambert?
Yeah. So for the past several years, Queen's been touring with Adam Lambert as their frontman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm sure you told me that at some point, but I did not retain it.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't like to talk about it much because I don't care for Adam Lambert.
No.
Like, I don't think I would even want to see the show if they came to town and I had an opportunity to have tickets. I mean, I saw Queen and Paul Rogers twice, and that really made me happy. But, you know, Angelina is a big fan of Adam Lambert, so... Or at least she really digs his voice and loves, she thinks he's super talented. But I don't know, man. Like, it was cool watching the documentary for like the stuff they talked about with the history and with Freddie and whatnot. But I don't know if I could recommend that documentary if you are not a super Adam Lambert fan, because his I don't know. I just don't like his vocal quality at all. He bothers me. So whatever, it exists.
Take that, Adam Lambert.
Yeah, watch the first half if you're a Queen fan. But then I also on YouTube caught a documentary, just like a quick little documentary. It was probably like 10 minutes long from, let's see, it was 1997 when Queen performed with Elton John for it was like for a ballet or something, or maybe it was I don't know. They were using the song The Show Must Go On, and they had like a whole choreographed performance. It was just one performance with them. And Elton John sang with all the members of Queen. That was actually the last time that all three members of Queen played together, or surviving members. But it was really cool, you know, watching them. That was the first time they'd gotten together since the Freddie Mercury tribute concert, like 5 years before. But what they really touched on in that I loved was John Deacon, the bass player, who has since not come out and played with them for, you know, he's fully retired. And they really like took a moment in that documentary to talk about like how awful that experience was for him. Like, he just, apparently he could not deal with being in Queen without Freddie. And he was just super uncomfortable. And like, they'd talk about it, they'd show footage of him. And like, my heart really went out to the guy, because he's such a talented bass player. And to see him like struggling, you know, it hurt. It sucked. Huh. So, but that one was definitely better and shorter. I do want to mention one last thing before we go. I was incorrect in when I was saying that the Doom Patrol series is HBO Max exclusive. Apparently, they're just, everywhere they're promoting it, they're just talking about HBO Max, because I think they're just trying to sell subscriptions. But it is totally on DC Universe.
Oh, wicked. Well, that's good.
Yeah. And you were correct in our Pee-wee episode when you said that Penny King was the same lady that played Simone.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
I just happened to stumble upon it. And an apology for not talking about the McRib or Filet-O-Fish in our fast food episode.
Yeah, they're both overrated.
Yeah, they're both kind of tasty. But I mean, honestly, like, to me, that AM-PM rib sandwich tastes almost identical to the McRib.
So yeah, we did get a comment on Podbean from Bloodbath.
Bloodbath. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've gotten comments from it. He's probably our most active Podbean commenter.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That we missed talking about A&W and Dairy Queen on the fast food episode.
Yeah.
And we didn't really go into depth on either. I kind of briefly mentioned both of them, but it was in very, very much in passing.
Yeah. Dairy Queen, you talked about the gravy side and the Blizzard deal.
Yeah. And A&W is where I went to go get the two double cheeseburger meals to play Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
But which is weird, because those are two of my favorite fast food places. I love both of those places. But
it's so interesting. Like you suggested we talk about fast food. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can talk about fast food. I've got a lot of experience with it. But then when I went to sit down to really start to think about what I'd say, I was like, the fuck? Like, how do I organize this? What's going on? I don't even know what to do. And then after I was writing notes, I was like, oh, fuck, this is big.
Yeah.
Like, there is no way I'm not going to miss something.
I did not expect that to be, like, one of our longer episodes.
Yeah, I think that is our longest episode.
It's fucking super long. It's like, man. And we still missed shit.
Yeah.
So, A&W, Dairy Queen. I love them both. The Blizzard's the shit. Root beer floats forever.
Yeah, that root beer on tap.
Mm, it is the best. remember they used to have the old restaurants where they were shaped like a hat, kind of like they had like the big thing that went up in the middle and then the low pitch roof outside of it. And the one in Rancho had a fireplace in the middle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there was one up in Colfax that had the same thing. Like they were a big chain and they had that bear mascot.
Yep. Now the only place you can find them is inside of a KFC.
Yeah.
Which is kind of disappointing, but I'm glad they're not dead.
Yeah, I've got one like right up the street from me, and I've still never been there, even though I've lived there for over 2 years.
I think they put egg in their hamburger, kind of like you would with meatloaf.
Interesting.
And that's been one of my theories for a long time. No idea if it's true, but that was one of the reasons I would attribute for me liking their hamburgers so much.
Ah, okay. I got to go try one.
Because it tastes kind of meatloafy.
Man, I haven't had meatloaf in forever. Oh, my folks were just in town. I should have asked my mom to make a meatloaf. I love her meatloaf.
I'd like to try it.
Yeah. Welcome to town. Make me food. Well, they're still here till tomorrow morning. I can call her up.
Just send her a text right now. Meatloaf tomorrow.
Yeah. Leave it in his fridge. I'll go pick it up. All right. Well, that's all I got.
Yep. No, I'm fresh out of shit as well.
Okay. Well, if you want to hit us up to talk to us about anything, let us know what you thought of this episode or any others. Shoot us a line or drop us a line. Yeah. Shoot us a grappling hook text line at email at geeksplorationpodcast.com. We're on the social medias, Facebook, Geeksploration, the podcast page, Instagram, Geeksploration Podcast, and Twitter at Geeksplore Pod.
Yeah. And if you want us to read your review on the show, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We didn't have any this week. Go to Podchaser or Apple Podcasts and give us one of those. We've got shirts and stuff available at shop.geeksplorationpodcast.com.
Let us know if you want a fanny pack. Like, I would love to put a fanny pack option up there, but it's just sort of like,
Anyone going to buy a fanny pack?
Like, I'll use a fanny pack if I go to, I mean, listen to our amusement park episode. And you tell me if you think you'd use a fanny pack.
Yeah, we just need amusement parks to be open again.
Oh, shit. Wow.
All right, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye.